Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Boy, we have a topic tonight. I know that a lot of you guys that listen to the show on a regular basis know that I do talk about overcoming trauma a lot, and this is another one of those shows. And I think that you can actually never have too much information about this. There are countless number of books that have been written, countless number of studies that have been written. This one in particular is a show dedicated to how to bring back intimacy after trauma and finding ways for healing and reconnection. And this show is close to my heart. I've had a lot of trauma in my life, between sexual trauma, between relationships that were very abusive. And like, I could sit here and tell you the list of trauma, and that would take up half the show. And in doing that, I don't know that that's going to contribute to you just having my list. So just know that the chances are, if you're listening to this, you've experienced trauma in some form or another. And there are basically three categories of trauma. We could say there's acute trauma, something that might have happened on one occasion. You know, acute trauma can be a trauma that might have happened on one occasion, but it could impact your whole life. Like, you might have been raped once, but it has impacted the rest of your life. So then you have chronic trauma. Chronic trauma is something that's ongoing, where it's like living with an abuser, and on a daily basis you're being abused, and sometimes to the point where you don't even realize it anymore. You start to think that it's normal. And then we have complex trauma, which is something that I don't know if you do listen to things about trauma, you might have been hearing more about CPTSD, which is complex trauma related stuff. So complex trauma is the exposure to many, many different traumatic events. And usually they've been repeated on a number of occasions, usually invasive. So complex PTSD might be, say, for example, having multiple times where your body was violated in your life. So, and you can have, and also then additional things where you've got, you know, you maybe had that happen on top of living with somebody who's an abuser. Maybe there's more that your body's going through. So emotional, physical, mental abuse, spiritual abuse, religious abuse, financial abuse. So many kinds of abuse that can happen, and traumas that can happen related to those abuses. So as much as, you know, we hear about mental, emotional, all these things as abuses, the abuse creates trauma. So it's a bit of an intense conversation, guys, but we're having this conversation because it's really important. And one of the reasons why it's really important is that, you know, among the people who report trauma and sexual trauma in specific, 81% of women have experienced some kind of sexual dysfunction as a result of trauma, and 35% of men who have had sexual trauma also report sexual dysfunction. And why that's important is because if you are having sexual dysfunction and you're disconnected in a lot of ways to your body, then it's going to impact your relationships. It's going to impact the way you feel about yourself, your confidence, even your creativity, because a lot of that ties into all that sexual energy as well. So there's bigger impact than sometimes we think. And sometimes we just kind of like, yeah, that happened, and try to brush it aside. But those are some stats from the American Psychological Association, the APA. So if you're, and the source for that is the National Sexual Violence Resource Center. So when we see that there is a lot of issues going on in a body, so as a holistic health practitioner and as a sex and intimacy coach, I often find that when people come to me with one issue, what they're really looking at is something else. So I might have somebody say, I have chronic pain, I have this and I have that, and I have inflammation, and I have been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder, and I have chronic pain in my vulva that nobody has been able to figure out. I will often dive into those questions that maybe you don't often have. I don't know why, but maybe you don't often have your doctors ask you this. And why I say that is because I've had many, many clients who have had vulvodynia and have never been asked the question by their doctors if there was any kind of form of sexual abuse or violence of any kind to their body. None have asked that question. They have just gone on to look at, is there an infection? Is there, you know, something fungal, viral, bacterial, parasitic going on? They usually don't even check for parasites, so who am I kidding? But they'll check for all this, and oftentimes what comes back is, there's nothing. You just have vulvodynia, which is pain in the vulva, right? So that creates a lot of discomfort for a lot of things, even to the point for some people, just even sitting becomes uncomfortable. Sex is definitely uncomfortable. Touch can be very uncomfortable as well, even if it's light touch. So my big question when people come to me who have been dissatisfied with what they've been offered in the medical system is, was there ever a time in your life that you're aware of or not aware of, but just ask your body, you know, did you experience any sexual violence, sexual trauma, sexual abuse, molestation of any kind? And every single time, it's a yes. Every single time. So I have not like written the book on this, but man, maybe I will, because it has repeatedly happened. And then, you know, they go to try and find solutions to this. And they might be given pain reliever, painkillers, but that doesn't really do much. They might be given antibiotics to try to see if there is an underlying infection, like a bacterial infection that they just didn't find. Or I don't know, it's just like so many things. But oftentimes, the ones who've been failed by the medical system are usually the ones who end up looking for alternatives, which is usually why I end up finding them, or they find me. It's usually they find me. I don't usually find them. I don't know how I would seek them out. But if that's something that's actually occurred in your life and you're like, I actually have vulva pain, I have vulvodynia, or I have, you know, if vaginismus, like if you have problems and you're finding like you're not finding solutions, and you know, in your heart of hearts, you know something has gone down and you know that your body has experienced trauma. I just want you to know there are things that can help. They're not always the things that you're going to find in medical textbooks. They're often things that people have been practicing for centuries, things like yoga, which is, you know, we have this term somatic breath work, somatic movement. It's all over the place now. So I use that term now too, because it's one that's familiar to people. Essentially, it just means somatic means soma means body. And it means that we're involving the body in all things body. So yoga, although there's many branches of yoga, but the yoga that most people think of as the movement exercise thing, one branch of yoga, there are many branches again, that don't even involve movement of sort. So yoga can be one of those things that's a somatic kind of movement. Pilates is like a somatic movement as well. Also the body work that I do, the mitzvah technique is somatic. So is Feldenkrais. So is Traeger. So is Bartynyov movement. There's a lot of different movement works that are out there that are super effective in helping your body to be able to connect and find all those places of trauma and stress and start to let your body let that out. And why I tell you this is because most people who have also experienced some kind of trauma, physically, sexually, specifically, have an aversion, usually they'll go one way or the other. There'll be a complete aversion to all things sexual, and it may take a very long time to develop trust and all those sort of things. And then there can also be the flip side, where you become hypersexual as a way to try and regulate your nervous system from all the, you know, there's probably a lot of external reminders all the time where you might see things on shows or smells that remind you and your body of what happened. And your body doesn't know the difference from what happened, you know, 25 years ago to what you just smelt or felt. And so your body just takes it on, doesn't know the difference, and then you're re-traumatized. And so finding ways to be able to have your body let go is incredibly important. Being able to breathe deeply, being able to move with ease, being able to let your body let go, being able to let your mind let go. So all of it comes together. And being able and willing to feel connected to something bigger than you. So whether that is God, the universe, whatever terminology you want to use, it's knowing that you are not the biggest thing in the world and that you are working and living in conjunction with something bigger than you. I find that helpful. And for a lot of people who have kind of walked a spiritual path, they'll also find it quite helpful, even a religious path. They'll find that knowing that there's something bigger than them can be helpful, and that you can always feel like you've got a partnership, that you something and someone has got your back, that you are able to know that it's not all on you. You're not the creator of the universe. If I was the creator of the universe would be a heck of a lot different, let me tell you. So just knowing that I'm not the creator of the universe is really helpful. So if you start to get stressed, and if you start to think you've got to control things in your life, your environment, how you feel, which often is something that happens when you've undergone a lot of trauma as well. So we're looking at how do we heal, right? So number one is know that you did not create the universe. You're not the creator. You're creator of your universe, as in your actions will create reactions. And, you know, you talk to somebody, they know you, and that's a reaction. Then they might recommend you. Like, that's how I get a lot of my business. So just know that if you created the universe, would it be exactly how it is right now? Probably not. So the chances are you're not the creator of the universe. But if you can actually ask that question and say, yeah, this is exactly how I would have the world, exactly how I would have the universe, and I created all of this, either A, you really are God, or B, you that's some scary stuff. Like, that's a scary ass responsibility to try and think you need to have. So what we need to do in order to heal is first acknowledge that something happened. So having that education and educating yourself on knowing, like, wait a minute, something happened. And knowing how your body responds to trauma. So this is something called psychoeducation. It's where your mind helps you know and educate you on what's going on. So if you're one of your trauma responses is to, let's say, self-sabotage and like run away from opportunities that are really good for you, then you might want to stop and go, wait a second, why is it that I keep running away from things that are good for me and I keep on running to things that are toxic? So educate yourself, because a lot of that is a trauma response. Educate your body. How does your body know? Well, sometimes it's just being in the space of it and being able to witness a situation. You could even just witness it, say, watching a movie or something, and you see a character on a show, maybe doing something that seems really familiar to you because you've done it. And you're like, oh, that, I've done that. I know that. I'm going to choose different. If you're one of those people like me who like watches shows and you're like know what the characters are about to do and you're like on it. My husband was laughing the other day because I said something like, and it was so specific. It was like so specific that we were watching the show 1923, and there's a character in that show, and she's in a waiting room, and I said, so the one character asked the other character, how long have you been waiting? And before anything was said, I was like, 2 days. And then, she says, the other character's like, 2 days. And he's like, how did you know that? I'm like, man. I just know things. But I also know when people can project that energy really well, and when people can show that, emulate like what they're feeling and experiencing. Really good actors do that. You can actually feel and anticipate what they know is going to happen. It's quite cool. I'm sure lots of other people have that capacity too. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to play with, just, to test your own abilities. And one of the things that you can also do is you can see that in people, not just in movies, but you can see it in people in real life and go, oh, knew that guy was going to do that, knew that was going to happen, felt that, sensed that. You can reassure yourself that your knowing is on the mark and follow through with what you know. Because a lot of times when you've gone through trauma, you've completely stopped listening to your own knowing. And you don't know how to get back to trusting you again because somehow you believe that you've failed you. We're going to talk about all of that, guys. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're talking about overcoming trauma. Not that we ever fully overcome it, but learning to deal with our trauma in order to heal, in order to have more pleasure, and in order to have better lives, right? So one of the things that happens after trauma is that often there's a feeling of just wanting to give up, give in, not really knowing how to have a life after that. So this is all about intimacy, specifically after trauma, and healing and finding reconnection with yourself primarily, and then being able to reconnect with others and connect with others. So what I found, I had a lot of trauma. Like growing up, I had my parents were divorced. It was quite a shock to my system. I was four. And it was just shocking. One day we were living with my dad, and the next day we weren't. And the whole thing for me as a 4-year-old was so utterly confusing and highly traumatic. I got everything that I owned was moved. My school as well, everything in that part of my life changed. My home, everything changed. And looking back, it was the exactly right thing that my mom did. But at the time, it was really scary and really confusing. And especially because I didn't really know what was happening and where we were going. And I think my mom was just so in a rush to get out of the house when she felt like she could that we didn't really even get any information about what was happening. Just pack your stuff, we're going. And that was it. And I'm 4 and I don't really know how to pack. So I think what I vaguely remember from those memories is just standing in my room crying, kind of frozen. And that's one of the things that can happen is like the dissociation where you just kind of like you know when you like stare off into space and you say nothing and you kind of feel nothing, but you might feel something and you might be crying, but you can't even respond. That'll happen. So I think one of the things to know is that it's not always just sexual trauma that can leave you with a feeling of intimacy issues. Like if you've been in, like I was in a family that everything just fell apart, you can end up feeling like you don't trust people because they could leave you, or you might have to leave them before they leave you. Or there's a lot of different things that would have intimacy that is even creating an intimate relationship that doesn't involve sex. It can create a lot of barriers to that and can kind of stunt your growth, your emotional growth, your developmental growth, because trauma will do that. It will create like a developmental stunt. Sometimes you get stuck at a certain age of when the trauma occurred, and whether knowing it or not, you kind of act like that age for a really long time. And so for me, when I'm going through healing on those things, I will allow those parts of me to show up to see what needs healing. So I'm that person who has toys around the house. Yes, I have sex toys, but I'm like, I have actual toys. Like I have board games and I have dolls and I have puppets because I use that not just for my healing. I use it to acknowledge my inner child so that there isn't a feeling of abandonment. And so for me, abandonment was a huge, huge problem. And the more I am in tune with and allow myself to be in tune with all aspects of myself, all the parts that maybe wandered off, wandered away, felt abandoned, so they abandoned first, that kind of thing. As I reconnect all of this over the last 30 years, I've been working on myself. Slightly more than 30 years. But anyway, as I've been doing all this work, the more I feel confident in my body and the more I feel comfortable with myself sexually, it didn't happen overnight. It's not one of those miracle things that happens overnight. Sometimes you'll have like super dynamic healing sessions where you're like, wow, that was game changer. And the thing is, yes, those happen. They don't happen every single time, and that's okay because sometimes we need those breakthroughs and sometimes we just need to keep going. Just let your body receive healing and keep that healing moving and rolling. And sometimes we need to take space away from healing and or it could be a particular healer and try something else. So in my life, I've had many different healers, different kinds of healing, and I love being able to try things out, and then I like kind of dive in for a very extended period of time. And some of them I always just keep at doing for the rest of my life, probably till now at least. So one of the things that happens with trauma, so if you've been in like a chronic trauma situation, like you've been in an abusive household where there's fights going on every day, so prior to my daughter being born, I was, and my, so my daughter's biological father is not the same person I'm married to. I like to just keep that clear because my husband is phenomenal. It's not the same person that I had my child with. And That relationship was incredibly abusive. I think there wasn't a day that went by where there wasn't a fight or I wasn't walking on eggshells from fear of something. Also, chronic lying due to alcoholism that was like pretending to be dealt with. It was really hard. And at the time, I just thought, I can get through this. Other people have lived through this, whatever. I brushed it aside. That wasn't the kindest thing to do. I needed to acknowledge how it was affecting me, how it was affecting my nervous system. Living in that every day, my nervous system was so on overdrive that I'm 6 feet tall and I currently weigh like about 175 pounds. And at the time when I was living with that person, I weighed about 125 pounds. I was incredibly skinny. Like in a way that didn't feel right. My body was unhappy, but I was also like kind of hovering and trying to escape my body all the time. So it's hard to connect with your body and be happy in your body when you're like not even willing to be in it. So sometimes you'll have massive weight gain or massive weight loss when you're not really able to be present with what's going on or acknowledge the massive trauma. So acknowledging it, super important. So what happens is your body can go into hyper arousal. So that's like that fight or flight response. And hyper arousal can be too, where you feel like you are turned on and need to, like sexually, and you need to just take action and like have sex with everything and anything in your path. That's part of hypersexuality too, hyper arousal, just all, and also hyper arousal in the other sense of always being aroused, which could be like wanting to watch TV, wanting to look at your cell phone constantly, wanting to always have your dopamine hit constantly coming at you because you need to stay high and alert because you're in fear, because you're in shock, because of trauma, because of stress. Your body is reacting. And then dissociation, which I kind of talked about, where you feel like you're kind of like not there and you don't even connect with your own body or your own reality or your own life. And if that goes on for extended periods of time, it can be lead to things like depression for sure. If it's momentary, it's something to keep note of and just like bring yourself back. So for a long time, in certain circumstances, I would just like tap out and I would just not even be there. So much better at it now, being present with things even when I'm uncomfortable with the situation. And if I'm really uncomfortable and like alarm bells are going off, like get out of here, I then, because I'm connected to my body, can get my body to get up and leave. Where before that, with the dissociation, like not even being able to move. So just sitting in circumstances and like different scenarios that were really uncomfortable. Bordering on like violent, and not being able to move because I wasn't connected to my body enough to get my body to move. And that's kind of also like a freeze response too, where you're just frozen like a deer in headlights and can't do anything. So none of those are fun. And having your body go through fight, flight, and freeze, none of those are fun. And a lot of times, what we need to do is just learn some simple things like learn to breathe, reconnect with your body. There's a really great reference for all things trauma, one of my favorite books called The Body Keeps the Score by Dr. Bessel van der Kolk. And that book has so much information. I love listening to books, so I have it on audio. In like the print version, it's got a lot of great other references that you don't necessarily get in the a lot of other great references that you don't get in the other in the audio. So go get that book, actually. Go get that audio. Go get that book. They're fabulous. And we're going to actually talk about more. I was going to tap into another part of a subject, but I'm going to head to my next commercial break, and then we'll tap into another part of this topic when we come back. So you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we've been talking all about overcoming trauma. Not just overcoming it, but in a lot of ways we have so many different things about trauma that sometimes we ignore it and we forget to, you know, do all the work like the healing and find ways to reconnect, because that's so important as part of getting your body back on track. So we've been talking about intimacy after trauma, even though it might not sound like I've been directly talking about that. I think a lot of it is being able to find ways to reconnect with you, because if you are, you know, disassociated, if you're frozen, if you're in hyperarousal, it's very hard to be able to connect with somebody. So some of these things are just for you to have awareness of what might be going on for you. Acknowledging these things is incredibly key. And then being able to navigate them and find ways to help your body reduce the trauma, reduce holding on to the trauma as well, because bodies will do interesting things. They will hold on to trauma for a really long time. There are a lot of different breath techniques you can use, but I think one of the simplest and easiest is just learning to have a regular breath. So in for five, out for five. And when I say breathe in for five, like feel your belly. When you breathe in, feel your belly expand. And when you breathe out, feel your belly just pull down and contract. And when you breathe in, so for me, when I breathe in, I can also feel I can feel my vagina. It will start to pulse. I can feel my body pulls up. So it's like it's kind of like doing a Kegel, but not really. It's an energetic thing that happens to bodies when you are getting into more breath work. Your body will breathe deeply to the point where when I say to people, like, breathe into your vulva, they're like, what? And eventually when you start breathing into your vulva, you're like, oh, I get it. You can actually breathe into your vulva. Yeah, you can. Breathing through it too, like letting the breath move right up through you and then out. So I like to breathe in through my nose, out through my mouth. Five and five, if you can extend that because your breath gets deeper and deeper and deeper, fantastic. And, you know, you can even breathe through your toes. But when I'm working with specifically sexual trauma, I like to breathe into the vulva, breathe into your, you know, your penis. If you have a penis, breathe into whatever your genitals are, because if the trauma is sitting there, we need to bring breath and life there. And as you do that kind of very just five and five, it may, it usually does, start to bring things up. So you might be like, whoa, I don't know if I wanted to know that or feel that. And you might just, your squirrel brain might go off and think about other things. And so come back to that breath, that in for five, out for five, breathing right into your vulva and breathing out. And just let your body do that. In fact, just do that breath work for the rest of the show while you're listening to me. That would be fantastic. In for five, out for five. Count it, feel that, feel the breath move through your body. It's going to help you reconnect to your body. It also helps you ground in. So, grounding in is more, I'm not necessarily saying ground into the earth. I tended to have tricky times, like imagining grounding into the earth, because I was like, well, is there a specific spot? I don't know. My brain got squirrely and had a lot of questions. I just know that for me, it's feeling and sensing my body. Can I actually feel the bottom of my feet? Yeah. When I can feel the bottom of my feet and I can feel blood flow moving there, and if I can feel when I put my arms out that I can feel, if you can see that on video, if I can feel blood flow and I can have sensations right into my elbow when my hand is extended and then open, and I can feel that movement right into my shoulder, then I know that my arm is connected. So you can do different things to know and feel that your body is connected. Because sometimes when you go to do those kinds of exercises where you put your hand out and you're like, wait a second, oh, there's parts I don't know. Maybe I don't feel from here to here. Okay. And then there are things you can do to reconnect it. One of the easiest things is to just put your hand up on a wall to keep it flat and then push into it and see if you feel that that flow into your shoulder. There's more that you can do in order to get that flow going again. I'm not going to demo that here, but if that's something that you're curious about and you want to get on a call with me, by all means, happy to show you some different things in order to connect your body. Maybe. I mean, I always have great ideas for things I'd like to make videos out of, but if I have enough requests of people who would like to have classes on different movements that can help you reconnect your body, I would be happy to do that. So requests can come through my email, through my website, militsayelenich.com. And even if I have only 10 of you say that you want that, I will create that for you. So if you are brave enough to be one of the 10, congratulations, because the first 10 will get it free. Everybody after that will not. So the first 10 to make the request that they would like to have, to be able to have different movements, to be able to reconnect your body, you guys will get that class for free. And I'm telling you that when I normally teach these live, they're valued at well over $250. So just know you got to be the brave ones to be able to write to me and request it. And I will put you guys on a list. And once I get the 10, the first 10 will be the ones who get that. So yeah, hope that's in some incentive to get a hold of me and connect. All right. So one of the things through reconnection is actually movement and some different somatic practices. So what I would be showing you is some movement and somatic practices that you can do, and lots of different ones. And I think there are a lot of great ones out there. Not all of them are going to actually get you totally in tune with your genitals per se, but you do need to reconnect with your whole body. Not just your genitals, but that is something that we can move in and to towards by, start to be connected to your feet and your hands, like get connected to those limbs. People are always like, connect to your feet. Well, connect to your hands as well, because they're often disconnected from your shoulders. If you've got chronic shoulder pain and stuff, something's going on there. So getting all that, getting all those different somatic practices in place, like breath work, and just keeping that five and five, in for five, out for five. Start with that. It's really key. And there's so many other, breathing in different ways and breathing out in different ways that can do other things too. So just know there's a lot more than what I'm saying right now. I'm just giving you guys some basics to be able to reconnect to your body. Then you also want to start to find ways to rebuild a sense of safety with touch and with sensation. And I find that one of the things to do first is to learn to touch you first. So if you have a hard time touching your own body, you're probably going to have an even harder time letting somebody else touch you. Start with places that you know you're okay with. Like if you know you're okay with touching your knee, then touch your knee. And then you can even ask your body, you know, may I touch you on the thigh? And your body might be like, yeah, okay. Yeah, you might get a sense of that. And part of that is learning to ask permission, because you probably were never asked permission for touch. So learning to ask yourself permission, because at first it might seem really weird and really awkward, but asking permission and ask yourself permission, may I touch you, body? And your body might be like, oh, thank you for asking. Generally, you just like do things and you never even asked me. So yeah, your brain might just go, yeah, I need to, you know, I'm so stressed, I just need to masturbate. But then your body's like, but I didn't, that's not what it was. What I really needed was a hand on my belly and one on my back. And okay, whatever, just take what you're giving me. But because sometimes you can become so disconnected after trauma, you don't even realize what your body would like. And sometimes those questions of may I hold your hand might be like, I don't know, that's awkward. But it might be like, may I hold your genitals? Yes, like that might be okay, because there actually needs to be energy there, or there needs to be some shift there. And you never know what's going to be the trigger. So even when working with yourself, if this is brand new stuff for you, learning how to even touch you. And there are really great different practices for touch, for sure, that I talk about a lot, like the touch blueprint. That's a great method. But one of the things that we haven't talked a lot about is something called the wheel of consent, which is fabulous. You can get it it's a practice, but you can get the book. And the book, man, it's a really great listen. It's a really great read. As a read, you also get a lot of extra exercises in the physical book. And then you can always, if you get the audio, you can always download the bonus materials. But Betty Martin's Wheel of Consent is amazing. And one of the things that is really important is to be able to learn how to communicate. And you can ask things like, in Betty Martin's Wheel of Consent, she talks about that there's quadrants, there's different things around touch and who touches, who does the doing, to whom. And it's actually a really fascinating body of work. I will probably do an entire episode dedicated to the Wheel of Consent, because there's a lot of information in there. I'm just throwing out a reference for you so you can check it out. You can check it out, and maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm going to create more things. Who knows? Maybe we're going to have a book club. I don't know. I don't know, guys. Tell me what you're interested in. How would you like to connect with me? Would you like a book club? Let me know. Get on that too. So the Wheel of Consent. Yes. Great, great book. So, okay, let me go back. I'm just like catching up to myself here. So we're talking about all the somatic practices. We're talking about touch. So yes, learning how to ask even your own body about touch. May I touch you? And then when you go to touch your partner, it's really okay to learn how to have those conversations. Like, may I hug you? May I touch you? May I, you know, sometimes we give free rein and we're like, it's all good, we're in blah, blah, blah. But it's actually more of an interesting challenge for growth and communication to be able to sit down and even spend 5 to 20 minutes learning how to ask each other for touch, and spending like 3 minutes even deliberately asking questions around touch, asking things like, may I? So starting with may I instead of can I, because can I is kind of more demanding and it has a different feel about it. But may I, it can open up an energy in people where they feel like it's more of an offer and more there's more sense of you gifting. Like, may I touch you is more of a, I like to gift you something, as compared to can I touch you is more about the person touching, getting something from it. Do you get what I mean? Anyway, may sound a little bit kooky. However, we're going to talk more about having awareness around our bodies, being able to reconnect with our bodies so that we can, you know, have intimacy after trauma and be able to do all that healing and reconnecting in so many different ways. And I am such a fan of body work and breath work and all those different things. So energy work. So you're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we will be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we are moving into having more and more intimacy after trauma. We are looking at healing. We're looking at reconnection. And it's a really big thing that you know, if you've gone through any kind of trauma, that we need to go through. It's really something that I think that, you know, you work on for the rest of your life, and things get better and better and better as you go. So putting things into practice on a daily basis is super helpful. So when I first started doing energy work about 28 years ago, I remember thinking, my teacher was like, okay, now go home and work on yourself for like the next 3 weeks, every day, every morning, do this, do that. And then I would go back for workshops, and I'd go back for more workshops. And then eventually I got like more training and more like levels and whatever. But I waited years in between getting like one level and the next level. I went to tons of workshops and I did a lot of training and I worked on myself every day. And at one point I was like, I remember at the very beginning, I thought, I'm never going to end up working on myself for 21 days. This is so not my method. Like, I'm not very good at routines. And then I started. And now we're talking 28 years later, my body automatically, I'll wake up and my hands are like in different places and I'm working on myself every day. And I never would have thought that would have happened. And so sometimes when you go to start a new routine, it's just really stick it out. And they do say it's like that 21 to 30 days, everybody's got a different opinion on it, that will get you into a new cycle. So mark that on your calendar, like for the next 30 days, for 5 minutes, breathe in, breathe out, 5 minutes. And then next month, once you've mastered that for 5 minutes a day for 30 days, next month, slap on your calendar that you are going to do self-exploration of touch for 5 minutes a day. If you happen to have a partner, then by like month 4 or 5, we're going to slap on the calendar 5 minutes where you're doing exploration with each other. So that it's not becoming daunting. It's not like take an hour of your day and go do. I'm asking you to just allow yourself 5 minutes, gift yourself 5 minutes. And then those 5 minutes add up. And then all of a sudden you've got a routine that's quite easy to maintain. And part of that gets you out of sabotage mode, which if you're, you know, anything like me who had gone through a lot of trauma, there's going to be a lot of self-sabotage that happens. There's five main kinds of sabotage, which we may talk about with somebody who's actually going through training that I know who's going through training to be a sabotage coach for anybody who does sabotaging. But they're a few months away from being able to practice because they have a lot of study to do. So yeah, when that happens, we'll be having that sabotage coach on. And that work is fascinating as well, just really fascinating about how and why we do these things. And it's a lot of it comes down to traumas and how we have found different reasons and ways to make sure that we never get hurt, that we'll never be rich, so that we don't end up feeling left out. You know, do you want to be part of the majority? Well, the majority has been abused. So you might like go, oh, I should be, you know, unconsciously, you're like, I'll go get into abuse so that I can be part of the abuse crowd. No, what if you can be that tall poppy that stands out that doesn't need to be in the abuse crowd? And you can, and it's okay to not have that. And it's okay to be more in the small group rather than the big group, even though the big group is where we think that we fit in. Usually that big group is the one who's experiencing some of the crappiest stuff. And so, yeah, just something to think about. Where would you like to be with that? I'd rather be in the small group who's thriving than in the large group who is suffering. So, and then as you are thriving, you can invite others who are suffering out of their suffering into thriving. I choose thriving. I choose it. I choose thriving. I am thriving. I be thriving. All right. So some of the work that I do as a both as a sex and intimacy coach and as a holistic health practitioner is a kind of somatic movement work that you can get on a table and you can have me work on you. You can also learn different movement exercises, and those can be learned both in person but also online. And why I'm telling you this is because finding ways to reconnect with your body, some of the best ways to do that is through specific kinds of body work. And if you happen to have practitioners in your area that you feel connected with, amazing. If you live in an area where you don't even know who or anybody who does any kind of somatic movement work, and you would like to be able to learn some, definitely send me a message on my website, melitzayelenich.com. Happy to, you know, again, if you're one of those first 10, you'll be getting an online class, a group class for free if you're one of the first 10. Can't believe I just offered that. That was a spontaneous offer that the universe decided to have me say out loud. So there you go. So guys, I think if I can give you anything today is, you know, get some information in your belt, learn what trauma is so that you can find out, have you been traumatized? Because I think it's also surprising to people when they realize how traumatized they are, because they've been traumatized for either so long with chronic trauma or complex trauma that they just figure that's the way the world is and everybody goes through it. And everybody I know has gone through trauma. That doesn't mean everybody's gone through trauma. It also doesn't mean it's normal. It just means it's common. It doesn't mean that it's okay. It just means it's common. And we don't need common. We need to actually shift that. So get some resources under your belt, like The Body Keeps the Score, The Wheel of Consent, both great resources. And then finding a practitioner in your area that does, you know, body work and breath work can be really helpful. So I hope that you guys, and my other one favorite one too is Emily Nagoski's Come As You Are. That's a great book too, talking about how sometimes we have, like, one of the greatest things I got out of that book was that arousal does not equal consent. And there's so much more to that book, but it's such a great piece of information. So guys, stay tuned in and turned on until next week. Because
thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.